day and night, month after month and year after year. And it's exciting to them because it is living and alive. And every day they're receiving something from Christ. There's not too many days that go by but what we don't receive some wonderful something from Christ. God said, I'll do a new thing. And if we didn't get anything else, just His mercy would be new every day.
Amen.
He said, my mercy is new every day. So if we didn't get anything else, at least we would get His mercy every day. Isn't that right?
Amen.
So then we're receiving the wonderful mercies of God. God has blessed us. We've been able to minister by the printed page. And sometimes as high as 100,000 publications at one time. We have been ministering on TV across the nation from Pennsylvania to as far as Indiana, and radio as far as Phoenix City, Arizona, California, to Pennsylvania and across the different parts of the nation.
Hallelujah.
We've enjoyed every minute of it, and we're still just as busy or more busier than ever in carrying the gospel of Christ. As a matter of fact, when I left to come down here, our presses in the last few days, or last little bit, has just rolled off about 400,000 to 500,000 pieces of literature of some new tracts that's coming out. And by the end of the week, they're planning to put at least 1 million pieces of literature off of the press. It's going real well when we left tonight. But the main thing is to carry out the great commission of Jesus.
Amen.
To go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This is our desire. That's a big job, and God meant for all of us, collectively speaking, to do it. The Bible said that He gave the word, but great was the multitude of them that published it. So it takes a lot of people to publish the word. Jesus Amen. Gave it. But it takes a lot of people to publish it. Isn't that right?
Amen.
All of us have a great responsibility to God and to humanity. And that responsibility is to be able to get to them and program their mind according to the mind of Christ. I've said this a lot of times. The mind of Christ, or the life of the Lord Jesus, so pleased the Heavenly Father that He decided that every living creature that He received must be programmed the same way that His Son was. That they must learn to think the same way that His Son thought, and to live the same way that His Son lived, and to be the same way that His Son was. He so pleased Him as that perfect example that God used Him for the pattern and decided that all of His creation, so far as humanity is concerned, that they must be made exactly in His likeness. So then the Bible tells us to follow in His steps. And that's what we want to do. It's a privilege to be here tonight. And there's much in my heart. I could say with Paul, much revelation.
Hallelujah.
Much revelation.
Praise God.
As a matter of fact, God has given me so much revelation that it would take many books. Many books. Just to bring forth some of it. I know that back at home, they probably got well over 1,000 sermons on tape. And most of it's revelation. And many hundreds or I don't know how many hundreds that there is that's never been recorded that is in my heart that we preached across the different parts of the world. So then the revelation of Jesus Christ is so beautiful. And I have to confess that I never knew that such a thing existed. Many years ago, I'd prayed, I'd sought God, I'd fasted, I'd done what preachers usually do, traveling across the nation. I didn't know there was such a thing until one day God called me away with Him and began to talk to me like He did the Apostle Paul. And as Paul said, the eyes of my understanding began to be enlightened. Because the Bible tells us that what we should do is pray that God will grant unto us the spirit of revelation. You know, it's my conviction today that the thing that is lacking in the church is the spirit of revelation. As I travel across the world and into different churches and different places, I find out that as a whole, people do not have the spirit of revelation. I find people with a lot of knowledge. I find people that come out of college where they've studied for years. As a matter of fact, we had a man come to Bethlehem not too long ago that could quote the Bible, just stand continually quoting. It was unbelievable, fantastic. But he still didn't have the spirit of revelation. So then I find that the problem of the church today is that they do not have the spirit of revelation. And Paul tells us that we should pray that God would grant unto us the spirit of revelation. It must be needful for the people to have revelation. Otherwise, I do not believe that God would have inspired Paul to tell the church to pray that God would grant unto them the spirit of revelation. Then he said that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might comprehend the heights, the depths, the width, and the length. This is what we're after.
Amen.
We want to comprehend the heights, the depth, the length, and the width. In Revelation 10, we're told that the mysteries of God will be finished. That there will come a time when they will be finished. For the Bible said the things of God have an end. And he tells us in Revelation 10 and 7 that God is going to bring an end to the mysteries. That it's coming to pass that we're going to understand them. And then he tells us in Revelation 11:15 that when this last angel sounds, that they will be finished. Or that he did sound, and they were finished. Revelation 10 says he will sound. Revelation 11 said he did sound. And according to the Bible, they were finished accordingly. But in searching the scriptures, and I'd like to say this before we read, to kind of collect our spirits and minds and thoughts here. In reading the scriptures, we find that in Revelation 12, when the last angel sounded, that it was pointing to a day that was yet to come. How many of you got just a few minutes to listen tonight?
Amen.
I'd like to talk to you just a few minutes. And in every congregation, just about, you have somebody that'll get up and walk out just about the time you get started. Sometimes people have to go to work, and that's all right. Sometimes they're pressed with necessity, they go to the restrooms, and then they come back. Sometimes they're arrogant, sometimes they're vainly puffed up by their fleshly minds. But most of the time, people stay and listen. It's very rare to have more than one or two to walk out on you. But I'd like to say tonight, if you've got plans to do that, if the devil brought you here for that purpose, I'd appreciate it if you'd get up and walk on out.
Amen.
And we'll get that over with now. That won't interrupt a message.
That's right.
And
Amen.
I feel that most of you came here tonight to really try to be a part of the service and try to understand. And for the benefit of your soul, I feel like that's why you came here tonight. And I'd like to take just a few minutes, if I can, to talk to you about the lovely things of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And I'd like to get comfortable if you don't mind.
Amen.
All right. So how have we got just a few minutes to stay tonight now?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
All right. I didn't see all the hands go up, but I saw some of them go up. I want to get comfortable here because I want to talk to you just a few minutes. Somebody said, well, you want to do like that, you must be planning to stay all night, Brother Pike. Well, Paul did. I didn't have that in mind, but I do want to talk to you just a little bit. In a meeting like this, it's difficult to be able to get into real revelation. And I usually just hold my little talks or preaching to a sermon of exhortation or something as milk of the word. But I do love to get into the word of God. Paul said, I'm a preacher and a teacher, and I like to do both.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
I want to read to you from the book of Timothy, and then we want to refer back to the book of Revelation a little bit and just take our time and talk to you a little. You know, we can preach to you. We can shout. We can run. We can speak in tongues. I've done all of that. Dance in the Spirit. We can do that. And all that's wonderful. And we should be able to be emotional enough to let God move through us like David said, I've run through a troop and leaped over a wall. Praise the Lord in the dance. But he tells us to grow in the grace of God and in the knowledge of God. And this is the thing the church needs to do, is to get the spirit of revelation and learn to grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And grow in the grace of God.
Hallelujah.
Because there's a lot of things that God wants you to know, folks. There's a lot of things that God wants you to know. And while you're doing a lot of other things that perhaps the babes in Christ should be doing, you are missing out on some of the greatest things that man's heart has ever experienced.
Amen.
All right, I want to read just a little bit from Timothy. I wish I had a swan or a water over here if there's any way to get any.
Yes, somewhere here.
Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. And I am persuaded that in thee also, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as a prisoner, but be thou partakers of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I am believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Now, in this, if you'll notice, he says here, that the Lord Jesus Christ has brought to life, or to light, immortality. People that don't understand Revelation, they don't understand immortality. And Paul's speech concerning immortality is far-fetched to them, so far as their understanding. But there is such a beautiful statement made here concerning Jesus through his death, bringing to light by means of the gospel immortality. The thing that we're concerned about tonight is immortality. I want immortality.
Amen.
Because it doesn't matter what I am right now, that isn't going to last unless there's a change. Isn't that right?
Amen.
You are immortal tonight. And unless you can switch over to the other side of life, you're going to be left behind.
That's right.
You're going to have to do something more than you're doing right now if you're going to be an eternal being.
Amen.
And if you're going to be one of those everlasting creatures that the Bible speaks of.
Hallelujah.
And the purpose of Jesus coming into this world was that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly.
Amen.
And the word abundant means filled up and overflowing. Jesus was the Prince of Life, and today Christ in you is still that same great fountain of life. So then tonight the thing that we're interested in is immortality. This is why that I love the revelation of the Lord Jesus the way I do. From glory to glory, we're changed into His glorious image. As we move from one glory to another glory, as we comprehend one great portion of the mind of God and comprehend another great portion, from that we are moving from glory to glory, and we're being changed into the great, wonderful likeness of the Son of God. I think one of the things that's besetting to the church is the teachings concerning the translation. You know, the church speaks of the rapture. That's good. We know what the word rapture means, being caught up. But there is no such teachings in the Bible as the rapture. There is no such teachings. You know, if I was guessing, it would be one thing. But having read this Bible over and over, and having been through this New Testament again and again and again, even having read it through on my knees, I know that there's no such teachings in the Bible as a rapture. This is besetting to people because it is a human terminology. And when you say rapture, it means caught up.
That's right.
So then the churches, in their man-made application, they'll take the word millennium, or they'll take the word rapture, and they'll use that, and they'll indoctrinate the congregation with it, and the congregation gets it in their mind that that's the Bible. And then, without understanding a lot of times, they miss what God is trying to tell them in the Holy Scriptures.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
Thessalonians tells us that the Lord will come back, and that He will appear in the clouds of heaven, and that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet Christ.
That's right.
So shall we ever be with the Lord. That's right. Call the rapture, the catching up. But brother and sister, there's a whole lot more to it than that.
Amen.
When somebody goes to school, they don't just go to school and get a diploma at the end of the school period. Is that right?
That's right.
They must go through some kind of transitional changes of their mind or their understanding to be able to qualify at the end of that school period to get a diploma.
That's right.
So then, just going in one end of the school, as we say, and coming out at the other, that isn't going to do the job.
Amen.
So then, if you're looking to be born over here, and then raptured over here in Thessalonians, as we say, brother, you're far from finding the will of God.
Amen.
There is something that God tells us that we must do, and that is grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ into the full measure of the full stature of the Son of God.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
A lot of people would say, well, Brother Pike, I've been born again. And I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. And that makes everything right. What more can you do? What more can God do? Did you know that when you receive the Holy Ghost, you're just getting started?
Amen.
How do you know that?
Amen.
When a man received the Holy Ghost, he just has been born into this world. That's just the Spirit of God just giving him life. He's just come to life in this world.
Amen.
That is, in the spiritual world.
Right.
He just has made the change. But the Bible says that the Holy Ghost will guide you into all truth and all righteousness. That is to grow in the grace and grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, growing into the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Jesus Christ. Isn't that right?
Amen.
He leads us into all truth and in all righteousness. For you shall receive power After that the Holy Ghost comes upon you.
Amen.
Where the original rendering is when the Holy Ghost comes upon you.
Praise.
You shall receive power. So then, it is such a marvelous thing to know that God has done what he hath done for humanity in bringing to light through the gospel immortality and sending the Son of God that he might express this to us.
Amen.
To let us know.
Amen.
That we might not be misled by intellectual terminology where men has made intellectual applications. Isn't that right?
Amen.
When we speak of the millennium, we know that means 1,000 years. You take the letter M from the Roman alphabets, use the thing, millennium, we got 1,000 years, but that's still besetting.
That's right.
That's still besetting. Because we're not interested in using the term millennium. You know, I wish tonight that I could express what God hath made me to understand about what we term as the millennium. And it's so unbelievably different.
Amen.
From what I always thought it was. Unbelievably different. I could have never dreamed that it would be so different from what I thought the 1,000 years restoration would be like. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
Intellectual applications are besetting. What we need to do is stay with the Bible.
Amen.
We can use intellectual terms all we want to. That's fine. As long as they don't deviate or leave the precious foundation of God's Word.
Amen.
That's the main thing. Is to stay with the Word of God. Every jot, every tittle. Stay with it.
Amen.
Everything will work out just exactly right.
Hallelujah.
I heard people down through the years, they say, well, Brother Pike, this isn't right and that isn't right. And this is the wrong translation and God didn't mean it that way. But down through the years, in checking the translations and checking that from which they translated the Bible, putting it all together, the King James Version is right down the line.
Amen. Hallelujah.
So don't let anybody tell you by using some brainstorm, don't let them tell you that this Bible isn't right. It's right. There are some things that a lot of times in the study of the original that may help to enlighten us in the study of the King James. But God has watched over this Bible. He's watched over this thing. It's wonderful the way that God has watched over this thing. And we're living in the hour when God is beginning to unveil the wonderful mysteries of Christ. You say, Brother Pike, what is the profit of the mysteries to us? Why should we understand the mysteries? Why should we know the mysteries? Because it's going to take the mysteries to translate you.
Amen.
Somebody would say, well, I'm waiting for the rapture. I tell you, there's no such thing. There's no such thing. I'm waiting for the rapture. Brother, when you understand the Bible, you'll know that the revelation of Jesus Christ is what you call the rapture. The Bible doesn't speak of a rapture. The Bible speaks of a translation.
Amen.
The Bible said that Enoch was translated by faith.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
He was translated by faith that he should not see death.
That's right.
Somebody would say, well, he's coming back and die. He's got to come back and die. We spoke of this a number of times because there's a teaching in the land that's strong that says Enoch will come back and die. There won't be any such as that. There'll never be any such as that. Enoch will never come back and die. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. I know that's true. But the Bible said God looked down from heaven. He heard the groaning of the prisoners, and he loosed them that was appointed unto death.
Amen.
And besides that, if Enoch comes back and Enoch has to die, I've said this a number of times, we need to throw the Bible in the river. Because the Bible said the scriptures can't be broken. And if Enoch comes back to die a common death in this world, the scriptures is broken. For the Bible definitely states that Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Isn't that right? Read over in Paul's teachings. Enoch was translated that he might not see death. That was the purpose of translating him. Being the seventh from Adam, he was a type of the church. Which means that we have at our fingertip right now the opportunity to be translated without going by the way of the grave. We have opportunity. Somebody would say, well, wait a minute, Brother Pike. How do you put that together? Did you know that it is appointed unto man once to die? But it isn't appointed unto gods to die. Gods cannot die. Jesus did not refer to the children of God as men. There is no such appointment unto men. He said, ye are gods. He said, ye shall die like men because of the lack of your understanding and knowledge. Because you haven't discovered your benefits. You haven't discovered your rights. You haven't applied yourself. You don't understand me. You don't understand why I came into this world. What I mean when I say I have brought to light immortality by the preaching of the gospel.
Amen.
Paul caught a little glimpse of it when he made the statement. Having been caught up into the third heaven, for his day as far back as he was, Paul saw some wonderful things. Though he did not express some of them, because he said it was out of season for him to do it.
Amen.
But nevertheless, he saw something because he said, we are not all going to sleep.
That's right.
Well, praise God.
But we're going to be changed.
Amen.
In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, from mortality to immortality, from this terrestrial to celestial, he said, this mortal must put on immortality.
Amen.
This terrestrial is going to be left behind that we might take up the celestial.
Amen.
And Paul spoke of this great wonderful change by putting it in an ultimate, saying that we shall not, we that are living, shall not exceed them that are dead. For the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we who are alive and remain,
Amen,
shall be changed and then caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And that's wonderful when we look forward to that. You say, Brother Pike, then that means that nobody can do any different from that. If that's right, what happened to Enoch? Tell me what happened to Enoch. Paul the Revelator, when he caught the revelation, he saw what took place. He said Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death.
Amen.
Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, God doesn't do that today. The Bible says that God hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God.
Amen.
Amen.
The translation works just the same today as it did back then. It works just the same. But the word rapture is so besetting till the preachers have gotten the people of the church believing that they can live worldly, mix and mingle with darkness, do anything that they want to in the lust and covetousness of the flesh, and just sit around and God, through grace and mercy, is going to reach down and grab them and take them away. Brother, I'll tell you, it'll never happen.
Amen.
There's going to be a great disappointing church world. It'll never happen. The Bible said, be holy for I'm holy.
Amen.
And the Bible tells us that God is the spirit of holiness.
Amen.
And that we are to have our fruits unto holiness and the end thereof eternal life.
Amen.
It's going to take putting away the filth of the flesh.
Amen.
You say, but Brother Pike, we're not saved with the putting away of the filth of the flesh. The Bible tells us that. That's true, but the Bible also says we're saved by a good conscience toward God.
Amen.
By the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the Bible said as many as have been baptized into Christ concerning the resurrection, they put on Christ.
Amen.
And the Bible said, let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity.
Amen.
Everyone that be perfect shall be as his master. Isn't that right?
That's right.
Be therefore holy, for I am holy, he said. And Paul said, God, the spirit of holiness, whom I serve with my spirit. Therefore, if my spirit is not holy, how then can I serve God, the spirit of holiness?
That's right.
Brother, it's going to take fruits unto holiness, and then
Amen.
The end thereof is that eternal life that we speak of concerning the rapture. One specific plan, he doesn't change it for any denomination. He doesn't change it for any group of people. He doesn't change it for any individual. It's one thing, and that is God's word to every person from the beginning of creation unto the consummation of this world. There is no changes or alteration. He said, what I say unto one, I say unto all. Isn't that right? So then tonight, when we speak of having brought something to light by the gospel, what is this kind of light that he's speaking of? The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Coming to an understanding. The light. Gross darkness shall cover the people.
Right.
What is the gross darkness? God said, Paul, turn my people from darkness. Intellectual reasoning. That old thing that stems from the tree of knowledge. The old educational system of the world. Right. Their own reasoning. In that the Bible said, thou shalt not lean to thine own reasoning. But our understanding, but trust in the Lord with all of your heart.
Amen.
Right,
amen. Have you understand what I'm saying?
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
So then gross darkness shall cover the people. What is the gross darkness? It is an intellectual reasoning that's going to cover the people.
Right.
Everybody's going to become self-sufficient. Everybody's going to try to figure out their own thing. Do their own thing, they say. Everybody's going to try to figure it out their own way.
That's right.
Gross darkness, intellectual reasoning is going to swallow them up. But he said it shall come to pass in the evening time there shall be light. Isn't that right?
Amen.
What kind of light? He said, great light has sprang up unto them that sat in the regions in the shadow of death.
Right.
Is that right? The day sprang from on high has visited those people. So then this light that was to come in the evening time, this great light is beginning to spring up. What is that light? The unveiled mysteries of the Son of God.
Amen.
In Revelation 10, it tells us that the mystery will be finished. In the original rendering, it says the secret shall be finished. And I like the way that it is expressed when it says the secret shall be finished. Because the Bible said he that abideth under the shadow of the Almighty shall dwell in the secret places of the Most High. Isn't that right?
Amen.
That is to say, as Paul, looking back at the types, the shadows, the Old Testament, things in an allegoric way, that Paul entered into those things, and he refers to them as being the shadows of God. David one time spoke of it in by saying God, that is looking down from heaven. David said, though I walk through this valley, the world. Though I walk through this valley, because this is the valley when you look at it from heaven. Though I walk through the valley of these shadows, he said.
Right.
Or of the shadow of Satan that's over me, or the shadow of death. Or this intellectual power of domination. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, yet I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy word and thy spirit, or thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
So then, we can escape the shadow of death.
That's right.
Now you know what? I really love to get into the teachings of the revelation of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Because back home a lot of times and wherever we're able to do it, we get into the teachings of what death is. A lot of people don't even know what death is. They don't know what life is. Most people feel like that what breathing and looking and seeing that that's life. But they don't understand what death is, and they don't understand what life is, and they don't know what time is. When you speak about time, whereas the Bible speaks of time being the moral, they don't know what time is. Therefore, not understanding those things, they can't understand the mystery and the secrets of God. But oh, my brother, it is so beautiful to be able to come to the place to see what Christ saw, to understand what God understood, and what he tried to manifest to humanity in Jesus. It is so beautiful to get a hold of that thing. Because those that get a hold of that are those that are counted for the children of the resurrection. Those are the ones that's going in what you call the rapture. Those are the ones that's being changed, as the Bible said, from glory to glory. They're the ones that's being translated over and over. going from glory to glory, receiving the greatness of God, moving on into that great immortality that this evening time light was supposed to reveal. For God hath brought to light immortality. Immortality hath brought it to light. That evening time light, the unveiling of the mysteries of God, this evening time light coming in. Oh, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost when I think about it. That wonderful quickening spirit, that same power that raised up Christ from the dead.
Amen.
The Bible said, if it's in you, he shall also quicken your mortal body by that spirit that dwelleth within you.
Hallelujah.
So then when we see the wonderful things that's taking place, we're so thrilled. So then when we understand what the Lord is trying to tell us, that he has brought to light immortality. Just think about that.
That's something okay? Right here.
When you say light, let's think on that again. Light. What is light? Is it the light like this light that we behold here? We're not talking about that kind of light. For the Bible teaches that the Lamb, that is Jesus, he's the light of that city.
Amen.
What kind of light is it? We say God, the great light, unto which no man can approach, whom no man has seen, nor can see, but Jesus Christ alone dwelling in that light hath immortality.
Amen.
That God that we speak of, Jesus dwelling in that light, he hath immortality. And that light that we're speaking of, that's to come in the evening time, Jesus is heir to that light. He brings to light immortality because he alone dwelling in that light has immortality. And this is the thing that Paul said Thessalonians change is going to do. It's going to change us from mortal to immortal.
Amen.
This is what we are working for.
Amen.
This is the ultimate of all of our endeavors, is to get to that place to where we can be changed. What I'm trying to say is that this thing is so magnificent. It is so wonderful. Where do you want to go outside of with him?
Praise God.
Eating, drinking, buying, getting gain, having prestige, being some great dignitary, some celebrity. What does that have to offer you? You're still going to fill up a hole and they're going to throw dirt in your face. You're still going to grow old and wither up like a prune. What good is all of that? But brother, immortality is what we want. We're looking for immortality. We're moving toward immortality. You say, Brother Pike, who's going to get the inheritance of this world? The man that can outlive the other one.
That's right.
Somebody say amen.
Yeah.
I said, well, he's got it and she's got it and they got it. And I think they're going to have it. But I want you to know that the man that can live the longest is the one that's going to belong to. And I'm planning to live on and on and on. If you'd like to share it with me, you're welcome. Hallelujah. It's for sure that the man that dies isn't going to have any part of it.
Amen.
So then the man that stays around, he's going to have control of it.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, it is, Brother Pike, it amounts to what the government says about it and what the law says about it. No, it don't. It just matters of who's going to live the longest, that's all.
Amen.
If I outlive the government, then that takes care of that problem.
Amen.
You love Jesus?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise
do what you want to.
Hallelujah.
So then God has brought to light immortality. We have immortality, folks.
Amen.
You say, Brother Pike, we don't have immortality. We do have immortality, potentially speaking.
Amen.
But you've not recognized it. You've not understood it. You've not come to the place to know what God was saying. Let's look at it for just a minute and examine it. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall not all sleep. Somebody would say, well, what do you think he meant by that? Die. You say, well, why do you think he means die? Because the Bible said when he came to Lazarus, Lazarus was dead. Isn't that right?
That's right.
But he said Lazarus was asleep.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
He said Lazarus sleepeth. And then they spoke of the resurrection and said someday there's going to be a rapture. Well, they didn't say it like that. They had a different terminology. They said You know, we know that the brother's going to live in the resurrection. I want you to listen to this now.
Amen.
Jesus said, "Thy brother shall live." They said, "We know that he's going to live in the resurrection. We understand all of this. We're all looking forward to the rapture." Now Jesus said, "You don't understand what I'm saying." He said, "I am the rapture."
Amen.
Everybody say amen.
Amen.
"I am the resurrection," Jesus said. "What are you looking out there for?" "I'm already the resurrection."
Amen.
Somebody said, "Day after tomorrow is going to be better than today." Why?
Praise God.
Tell me why. Can you tell me why? That day after tomorrow is going to be better than today. You're going to be a little bit older, if that'll help. If you hold on long enough, you may have to walk around on a crutch. If that'll help any of you know, then you can look forward to day after tomorrow. You say, "Brother Pike, what are you talking about?" I'm saying this, folks, there is no yesterday with God. I've said this a number of times, there is no tomorrow with God. There's no such thing as a yesterday with God.
Amen.
There is no such thing as a tomorrow with God. Why do you look for a tomorrow with God? There is no tomorrow with God. There is no yesterday with God.
Hallelujah.
Even science tells us that this little old ball that we call the earth floating around out here with a billion others.
Hallelujah.
That our sun that is setting out there with many other suns around, but talking about the one that gives us light.
Amen.
That thing strikes this little old ball that we call Earth. Is that right?
That's right.
It's just a little old ball floating around out there, and because the sun moves over this way of the earth spins this way or that way, we say 1, 2, 3, yesterday, tomorrow, and from now on.
That's right.
Why do we do that? Because we are time creatures. We're not time creatures because God made us time creatures.
Right.
We're time creatures because we choose to be time creatures.
Right.
God doesn't want any time creatures.
Amen.
Jesus isn't looking for people to be time creatures. It's not God's plan for us to be time creatures.
Hallelujah.
1, 2, 3, and I'm a week old, and 1, 2, 3, and I'm a year old, and 1, 2, 3, and I'm 35 years old, and 40 years old, and after a while, throw me in the hole and put the dirt on me. Why did you do that? He said, "You're gods." Somebody said, "Well, Brother Pike, everybody does that." Well, do you want to do what everybody else does? There's a whole lot of things I don't want to do. You know, a whole lot of things that they do that I don't want to do, and that's one of them things that they do that I don't want to do.
Amen.
I don't have no inspiration toward it myself.
Amen.
Do you?
No.
So then why sit around and count numbers till we fall off in the hole and they throw the dirt in on us? Why to go to work to try to pay the insurance to get ourselves a coffin so that we can have a nice barrel? I don't see no profit in it.
Amen.
I believe that what we ought to do is live. Somebody would say, "Well, Brother Pike, we're born to die." I agree with you that those that are born into this world, they are born to die. I agree with that. When I was born into this world, I was born to die. But brother, I had been born again.
Amen.
And I was born into this other world to live, not to die.
Amen.
Jesus said, "I've come for you to have life."
Amen.
Glory to God. I'm not relative to that shadow of death that David spoke of. I'm not relative to that thing. You say, "But Brother Pike, David said he walked through that valley and that thing was between him and God." I know that the clouds get between the sunshine and between the earth sometimes. But this veil that's over this valley, brother, did you know that one day Jesus went to Calvary and he rent that thing right down the middle?
Amen.
He hung between heaven and earth. And when the devil came this way, he went this way, and they called it the cross.
Amen.
Is that right?
That's right.
He started this way and the devil struck at him this way and he just split the whole thing open and kept on going.
Amen.
And he rent the veil in two. Isn't that right?
Amen.
And old brother John, just a few short years later now, about 33 A.D., and a few short years later, about 96 A.D., here's John, exiled on the little Isle of Patmos over here, near the Mediterranean Sea. Over here John is, and he's done caught up into the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And there he is writing all about the rent veil.
Amen.
How do you know that the book of Revelation is the rent veil? How many of you understand that when John wrote what is called the revelation of Jesus Christ, it wasn't anything other than God unveiling his masterpiece at Calvary? Amen. That John was writing about the unveiling of the Christ?
Amen.
Now let's look at it for just a minute. The Bible tells us that the veil was rent in twain. Isn't that right?
Amen.
All right, now, what did he mean when he said the veil was rent in twain? The Bible says that he made in himself, in the book of Acts, he made in himself both Lord and Christ.
Amen.
See, he made two in himself. Isn't that right? Paul said, I preach that the Lord, he is Christ.
Amen.
So he made in himself both Lord and Christ.
Amen.
That's twain. That's two.
Hallelujah.
So when he went to Calvary, the purpose of going to Calvary was to rend the veil.
Amen.
Why rend the veil? Because if you got Siamese twins, you got to rend the veil and one of them can live and the other has to forfeit his life. The twins wrestle in the wound of Mother Nature. When he went to Calvary, he went to Calvary for one purpose, and that was to rend the veil. What was the rending of the veil? The separating of the twins. The Lord separated from the Christ because he made in himself both Lord and Christ. And inasmuch as the Lord, which was the Jesus part, had to do with sin and atonement and the perfect lamb of sacrifice of the evening time upon the big brazen altar of Calvary.
Amen.
Inasmuch as it was the Lord, then the Christ had to do with the resurrectional side of it. For the Lord was delivered for my offenses because I offended. He went to Calvary. I offended before the great king. I was guilty. It was my offenses, my sins, not his sins. For the Bible said he knew no sin. But he was made my sin that I might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore he was delivered for my offenses, the Lord was. But then the Christ was resurrected for my justification.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
He was raised again as proof that the offenses had passed on. The mere fact that a man came up out of the ground the same way that he went into the ground proved that all of the fury of God was over. Because he was the beginning of the creation of God. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, Adam was the beginning of the creation of God. I know that he made Adam in his image. I understand that. But here's what happened. You know and I know that Adam lost that image. Adam was overshadowed with the Shekinah glory of God. Isn't that right?
Amen.
He was in the garden, which was in the one part of Eden, called the Garden of Eden. And he was overshadowed with the great Shekinah glory of God. It was beautiful. And as long as he was overshadowed, he had life eternal. Is that right? Somebody said, well, do you believe that Adam and Eve had eternal life? No, definitely not. They very definitely did not have eternal life.
Right.
If they had eternal life, they never died. The fact that they died proved they didn't have eternal life.
Right.
No, they did not have eternal life. They were in the presence of eternal life.
Amen.
God was the one that was eternal. The Shekinah glory was eternal. As long as they abide within that glory or would have abode within that glory, they would have been eternal. They would have continued to live. But the very minute that Lucifer enticed them through that beast and pulled them out from that Shekinah glory, he said, the day you do that, you'll die.
Amen.
You'll die. Isn't that right?
Amen.
But look at the beauty of the thing today. That can't happen to you and I. Somebody would say, now wait a minute, Brother Pike. I said, that can't happen to you and I.
Amen.
You say, what do you mean by that? Because we are not in the presence of the Shekinah glory of God. The world is still under the illumination of God because of the atonement. As long as that blood is on the atonement seat, the world is under the illumination of grace, and God will watch over them, and God will give them medical care, and they'll be in heaven. And a lot of times I get a hang up right there. When I say heaven, somebody looks at me kind of holler-eyed, and they say, you mean this is heaven? And I've said this a lot of times, if you don't believe this is heaven, you wait till you get in hell and you'll know the difference. So then, there is a first heaven, a second heaven, and a third heaven. You just got to know which one we're talking about. That's what it is. But Brother Grace has made allowance for the people of today. It is true that man was made in the image of God, but where is that image today? Somebody would say, well, anybody can look at us and tell that we're in the image of God. And I don't say this in a mocking way, but to get across my thought, that means if what you say is true, one fat one, one skinny one, one short one, one bald-headed one, one with no teeth. Now, which one of them is his image?
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, when they got all of their hair, Brother Pike, and when they got all their teeth, but some still born short, some still bald, you know, tall, some still plump. How do you understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
It means that the image was lost. This is why the Bible said you cover with a covering, but not of me. See, that Shekinah was the covering of God's glory. That's why the Catholic world out yonder has down through the years shaved the hair off, put that hood over. See, the woman's hair is the covering of the glory. The government upon the shoulders here, like Samson's lock, the strength of the church.
Amen.
But covering that, shaving the hair off, covering it, showed that dark veil of satanic covering in the dark ages. That was a covering, but not of God. It was right. Not God's glory.
Amen.
God's glory had been taken away. How do you agree to that?
Amen.
You cover with a covering, but not of me, God
Amen.
Said. It's not the covering of my glory. It's not that at all. Because when you left the Shekinah glory of God, you left my covering.
Amen.
What kind of covering did they have? Said, well, they tried some fig leaves and that didn't work. That wouldn't do. You know why they did that? Because they were under a water covenant. God had made a water covenant with them. There's a water covenant and a meat covenant. That is the blood covenant and a spirit covenant. And they were under that first covenant. And the first thing they did when they felt that shame and embarrassment, they run over there and grabbed the fig leaves from the tree. They thought that would do the job. But see, they had not fallen to a water covenant. It wasn't the water covenant that was responsible for it. They had broke it all right. But that wasn't what it was. They had meddled around, as we say, with a beast.
That's right.
They had gotten into the blood side of it.
That's right.
They had gotten into some other side of it.
Amen.
So then they couldn't cover with leaves. You couldn't take that off of the tree.
That's right.
Because water is the lifeline of the world of vegetation. Mm-hmm. That's the natural world. But see, they had gotten connected with the physical world. The blood realm. That's why that from Noah on over ends the water covenant and starts the blood covenant. On over to Calvary. Mm-hmm. Until there's a human sacrifice that comes in view. Because of that second covenant, that blood covenant. The life was no longer connected with the water and sustained by water. But it was sustained by blood atonement.
Amen.
In the garden water would do. But beyond the flood, it couldn't be that.
Amen.
The life is in the blood. So then God said, no, Adam and Eve. You can't have leaves. It'll take skins.
Amen.
That's why you're running around with skins today.
Amen.
It'll take skins. See, it's blood. You come to a different level. But when God brought them over to Pentecost, when God brought them over to Calvary and got us on the other side of Calvary,
hallelujah.
God made that new angelic covenant with us, that
Amen.
Spiritual covenant.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's
Hallelujah.
Not with our blood. It's not with this body, which is a composition of water, as scientists say. But it's that innermost part, that life, that angelic part
Praise
of man.
God.
Well, the Bible said in the spirit in heaven, we're all his angels. He made a covenant with that. And he took that spirit and he translated that spirit into the marvelous kingdom of the living God.
Hallelujah.
And today, we by faith in God, our spiritual being, has been resurrected from the dead.
Hallelujah.
Oh, now, let's see what we're saying here just for a moment. You say, Brother Pike, what are you trying to say? I'm saying this. Like Jim said, what are we down here for? Macon has to do with the resurrection of the dead.
Right.
Oh, the beauty of the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not that which was yesterday, but that which is taking place right this very minute.
Amen.
And you are a part of it.
Oh, glory.
Oh, glorious.
Oh, glory.
To know that right here this very
moment. Oh, glory.
Inside making contact.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. The prodigal. That last one, that means that we cannot, there is no way that this old beastly intelligence that's working from up here can subdue that precious Prince of God down there and get him out from under that covering.
Amen. Hallelujah.
He done it to Adam and Eve. Working through that beastly part, he lured him. And today he would do it again if he could. But see, we're not under the Shekinah. We're not under the covering. Brother, we're born to the glory of God.
Amen.
We're born to the Spirit of God.
Amen.
That innermost being is born of God's glory.
Amen.
Not under the covering, but we are one with him. His spirit and my spirit is one great life that cannot die. You say, Brother Pike, what do you mean? The Bible teaches when you're born again, that life on the inside of you passes from death unto life. And you can never die anymore, my brother, sister. Never die. Somebody say, well, I know a whole lot of them. They're putting in the hole. You never seen them put one of them in the hole.
Amen.
Not one of them.
Hallelujah.
You say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that all these people that they're bearing out of it didn't put them in a hole? The Bible said at death, the spirit goes back to God who gave it.
Amen.
When I was buried in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, they put my body down in the grave back there, and my spirit went off to God who gave it.
Amen.
And the Bible said God has translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God, and we are hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the time of the restitution of all the restored, the millennium, that is the coming of all things.
Hallelujah.
So then where are we tonight? Somebody said, wait a minute, Brother Pike, you're getting over my head. But wait now. The Bible said that God has chosen us out of this world.
Amen.
You're not of the world.
Amen.
You're not of the world.
Amen.
For God has chosen us out of the world.
Amen.
Do we believe the Bible or not?
Amen.
Somebody said, well, I'm going to be saved by faith. Faith comes by the hearing of what I'm saying.
Amen.
Are you listening? Because the Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. And faith comes by the hearing of the word. There ain't no faith outside of that.
Amen.
You can believe all you want to. You can believe in a corn stalk, but that ain't going to get you no corn. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
So then, I'm saying one thing, children of God. Faith is by the hearing of the word of God, and the word of God says that we are not of this world.
Amen.
God has chosen us out of this world.
Amen.
And has hid us with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Not going to be a rapture. Not going to get us over there after a while. The Bible teaches he's already done the work.
Amen.
So I said, what do you mean? The Bible said he translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God.
Hallelujah.
You pass from death unto life, and ye shall never come into condemnation. And I said, Brother Pike, what are you talking about? All right, let's differentiate between the Lord and the Christ and the rent veil here as to what God did and why he did it and for whom did he do it.
Amen.
That was you dying.
Right.
The Bible said, reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Has been baptized into Christ to put on Christ. Isn't that right?
Amen.
My body is dead by the body of Jesus. There's no more sin to a Christian. Somebody was saying, now Brother Pike, if you live real good, hold on real tight. If you're lucky, you'll make it. No, that isn't the way it is at all. If you'll repent of your sins and call on the Lord Jesus Christ, when you get through, if you've called on him right, you've already made it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's the end of it.
Hallelujah.
Now, you say, well, what you do, Brother Pike, if you get weak, you drift away and you lose out with God. There is no such thing.
Amen.
Jesus said, Father, I've not lost to one of them except the devil that was chosen to walk along with us till he done his dirty work.
That's
isn't that right?
Amen.
Said, I've chosen 12 of you. Said, one of you is a devil. How many know that's true?
That's right.
He was covered by the grace of God.
That's right.
He obtained part of the ministry because he was a sovereignty just like you and I, human being just like you. But the thing is, he was still wretched. The devil just couldn't get a hold of him at that time. But if the supper, what happened? Jesus said, take the supper, and the Bible said the devil entered into him.
That's right.
That's right.
Isn't that right? But by predestination, he was a devil from the beginning.
That's right.
By foreknowledge, he was a devil from the beginning.
That's right.
The prophets prophesied him before he was ever born in the world that it would happen to him. How do you understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
See, that's why I say I don't have time to preach, but I'm going to have to press it just a little bit to get in a few more words here. Or I really will leave some of you mixed up, I feel sure. Now, let's just examine it for just a few moments.
Hallelujah.
Have we really passed from death unto life? Have we? Somebody said, well, it's a good manner of speech. Jesus said that to make us feel good. I don't believe that, do you?
No.
I believe Jesus is more intelligent than that. And I believe he had better things to do than just go around telling us things to make us feel good.
Amen.
I believe that when he spoke, it was the same God that said, let there be light, and there was light.
Amen.
Let there be great whales, and there was whales.
Amen.
I believe it was the same God that said, let there be a Bill Cartridge and a John Lane, and there was a Bill Cartridge and a John Lane.
That's right.
That's right.
I believe it was the same God that said, you pass from death unto life and shall never come into condemnation. At death, my body, by the body of Jesus Christ, laid down in the watery grave.
Amen.
When I came up out of that watery grave, it was no more I living. But Paul said, it is no more I, but Christ that liveth within me. The life that I now live, I live by the Son of God, and I am bone of his bone, and I am flesh of his flesh.
Amen.
Amen.
Somebody said, now wait a minute, Brother Pike. You don't really believe that flesh is going to go into the up into heaven. Now, you don't believe nothing like that. I'm afraid to do.
Amen.
I'm afraid to do.
Well,
why do you believe it? Because that's what the Bible says.
Amen.
Somebody said, show it to me. And Jesus went over and ate a little honeycomb. They said, a spirit. He said, no. My Father's a spirit. John 4:24 said, feel of me, a spirit don't have flesh and bones like I got.
That's right.
See, if that had been a spirit come up out of the grave, then the resurrection wouldn't have been real. Did you know that?
That's right.
The same body of bone and flesh that went down to the grave, brother, sister, had to get up out of the grave, or it would not have been a true resurrection.
Amen.
How have you got just a few more minutes?
Amen.
I fan the sparks just a little bit. I'll let the fire go out, and we'll talk just a few more minutes to you. If I feel the flame going out, I'll just have to cut off right there.
Hallelujah.
All right, now. So then, when we talk about the resurrection, what are we talking about? Jesus.
Amen.
You say, well, how are you talking about Jesus? He said, I'm the resurrection. I'm the one, he said, brought to light immortality.
Amen.
It is I, the Prince of Life.
Amen.
I'm the resurrection. Not day after tomorrow now. The sun comes up and the sun goes down. We say, not day after tomorrow. There is no yesterday, tomorrow with God. Let's get that clear.
Amen.
One great eternal day.
Hallelujah.
Can we drop this in while we're on our way here to the resurrection? See, from life to resurrection, in the beginning was God. Isn't that right?
Amen.
How do you believe that?
Amen.
In the beginning was God. Why was he God in the beginning? Because you called him God.
Hallelujah.
He never did have a name like that. It's just a title you gave him.
Amen.
He was that great, wonderful, wonderful, self-sufficient one.
Hallelujah.
Isn't that right?
That's right.
We give him the title God so we could program our minds up here to keep ourselves balanced. That is God meaning object of worship. Is that right?
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
So then we're talking about from life on the other side of that title that we gave as God, because you could call a lot of things God. On the other side of that title, that great light Paul refers to it as. The great light into which no man can approach, whom no man has seen, nor can see. You never have seen him. You never will see him. There'll never be a time you'll ever see him except
Hallelujah.
Through Jesus Christ.
Glory
to God.
So then this little period of time that's dropped in over here at the garden when somebody partook of the tree of knowledge, that little brainstorm called time that dropped in over there that kept ticking away and ticking away and ticking people's lives away until finally the angel rose up over there and said, let's get the clocks and throw them into the ocean and forget about this thing. You love Jesus? The Bible said he raised his hand to heaven. He put one foot on the land and one on the sea and swear by him that liveth forever and ever that time would be no more. How did the thing get started to start with? By them shatters that we're talking about.
Amen.
Them shatters. When them shatters dropped down there, man caught in the circumstantial environment of his surroundings, what did he do? He had to figure out something, so he stuck a little stick up in the ground and let the sun come down on it. And when that shatter went one way, he drawed him a little circle around it, seen how long it took for that shatter to get around there, and he said, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and here we are. Thus we got a clock. Thus we got time. And that shadow of death hanging over it, man, has gradually ticked his life away. Ticked his life away. And man got caught in that thing. But when God unveils the mystery, when God finishes the secret, when God makes known what he's doing, the Bible said at that time, then we'll understand what the rent veil is. What God done with that shadow. How that the sun eradicated that thing. And with the brightness of the glory of the coming of God, after that great millennium, as we call it, when the Bible said the earth shall flee away and the mountains shall flee away and there will be no place found for the earth and for the seas, for the mountains, that shadow of death completely eradicated and gone, that celestial appears. Never was such. Never should have been such. Only that God had a plan.
Praise God.
Amen. Somebody said, well, what it is, God had a plan. I'm going to try to close because there's so many things here I need to clear. I can't stop right now, though. I'm going to have to say a few more things. You're going to have to hang on. I am going to close, though.
Amen.
Believe it or not. Praise God. You love the Lord.
Amen.
All right, ain't no better place to go anyway. If you eat hamburgers, you'll just feel bad after you do it, you know. All right. We need to fast some anyway. You can tell that by looking at me. All right, so then when we consider this little shatter of time, this little transitional thing that we call time element, coming from over here to over yonder, this little thing that's causing us all of our trouble, it's causing us a lot of trouble, folks. Who done this? Adam did it. Somebody said, God did that, Brother Pike. The Bible said death came by man. It didn't come by God. God didn't have nothing to do with that shadow. How do you know that?
Amen.
The Bible said death come by man. Now, I am persuaded that if death come by man, then we can do something about it because we're a man. Is that right?
Amen.
Somebody said, well, I don't believe that. Well, the Bible said the man Christ Jesus done something about it. He's brought to light immortality. And he told us we ought to do the same thing he done. Everyone that be perfect shall be as his master.
That's right.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
Somebody said, well, he had to die, if you remember, Brother Pike, to get over yonder in glory. That's not Bible. Because before he ever died, he walked up on the Mount of Transfiguration and appeared over yonder in glory.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
He appeared over yonder in glory.
Amen.
And what about them other bodies that we was talking about?
That's right.
What about them other bodies? There stood a body of Moses.
Right.
There stood a body of Elijah. Somebody said, well, that was their spirit. I don't believe that. Jesus' body was in glory.
Hallelujah.
The Bible said he was in glory.
Amen.
Where was Elijah then? In glory.
Amen.
Where was Moses? In glory. Somebody said Moses was buried. They never did find his body.
That's right.
The Bible said he appeared in glory. Isn't that right?
Amen.
There he stood in glory. Them bodies in it. That was a body. Elijah, that was a body. Moses, that was a body. Jesus, that was a body.
Amen.
So then I said that to say this, that same Jesus that eat that honeycomb, why, before he ever got up out of the grave on the other side, he went to glory.
Amen.
He went to glory to visit with Moses and Elijah before he ever got up on the other side of the grave to go live with them.
Amen.
You say, well, why do you say that? I'm saying if he can do it, we can do it too. Somebody said, but you can't do that, Brother Pye. The Bible said we should follow in his steps, and that's where his steps went to.
Amen.
Now you say, what do you mean by that? I mean this one thing, that Jesus didn't die to get into glory. He died so I could get into glory. He atoned for my sins. He went through the program of God and appeared in glory to show you and I that what we need to do is go through the program of God and leave death off. And I want to ask you this question anyway. Tell me something now, you that believe in death so much. You know God don't believe in death. How many know that death is God's enemy? How many know that?
Amen.
God's enemy, the last one to be conquered. He don't have no fellowship with it at all. And he don't want you to have any with it.
Right.
He came and died for you so that you wouldn't have any fellowship with it. How many know the Bible said he abolished death?
Amen.
That he hung at Calvary to do away with death.
Amen.
I beheld Satan his lightning fall from heaven, and I have destroyed him that hath power over death, right. And I have abolished death within my flesh.
Amen.
To get rid of that interference, how do you know that?
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
Is that what God did? Why did he do it? So that you and I could leave off with going by the grave and just go ahead and do what he'd done. Go through our program, go right on into glory with Moses and Elijah.
Amen.
The same way that Enoch did when he was translated by faith.
Amen.
That he should not see death.
Amen.
How then was Enoch translated by faith? Are you listening now or you get sleepy on me? I don't close in a few minutes. I just want to complete my thought so it won't leave some of you wondering about what I'm trying to say.
Amen.
Now, how was Enoch translated by faith? Why was he translated? Tell me this. Why does Moses and Elijah have to come back into this world? Why do they? To die. Because they were under the law. Are you listening?
Amen.
You say, do you really believe they're coming back, Brother Pike? They'll sure come back in that tribulation period. Moses and Elijah will be them two prophets. Somebody said, oh, that's going to be two fellas. It sure is, Moses and Elijah.
Amen.
You say, well, you can't prove that. I can prove that too.
Amen.
They're coming back into this world to die.
Amen.
Why are they going to come back to die? That appointment to man. They're on the other side of Calvary. They're under the law. See, the penalty of sin is death. And sin gets its strength by the law. I wish you had time to listen tonight. I really do. This down here has to do with such a great thing here in Macon,
hallelujah,
Georgia.
Praise God.
If you knew what it had to do with tonight, you'd been doing what Jimmy was doing. It is unbelievable,
praise
my brother.
God.
Say, well, Brother Pike, why come you ain't doing that? I've just been doing it. In my soul, I've been doing it, and I've done it a whole lot of time before I got in here.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Sometimes, you know, I'm not too much to demonstrate in front of people, but sometimes I close the door and I'm just like a wild idiot, and I'm screaming and hollering and jumping, glory to God, and tears streaming down my cheeks. And sometimes my wife wonders what's happening to me.
Hallelujah.
Now, Moses, Elijah, they have to come back and die because they were under the law. And let's see what the resurrection is about, just for a minute anyway. They must come back, brother, sister, and they must die because they are under the law. The penalty of sin is death. And sin gets its strength by the law. They must die. The appointment is under them. You say, but Brother Pike, Moses died. Why does he have to come back and die? Where is your proof of that? He said, well, that's what the Bible says. In the Old Testament, it does. It speaks of him being buried. Of what happened to him. Josephus doesn't give it that way. He said he went out there and he went up like Jesus. The prophet likened to Moses.
Hallelujah.
Now, but I'm not basing what I'm saying on Josephus. Somebody said, I got you. Josephus, that's who you are. You're hinged on Josephus. No. I'm hinged on Christ, the resurrection.
Amen.
I say this for this reason. The Bible speaks in the New Testament this way. That when the angel of death, Satan, came to claim the body of Moses, the Lord, through the angel, said, the Lord rebuked thee, Satan. Is that right?
Amen.
Is that right?
That's right.
The angel just turned around and said, the Lord rebuked thee. Why? The Bible said he came after Moses' body.
Amen. That's right.
Now you know and I know that after 40 days without food And then 40 more days without food, and mind you, without water. 80 days and without food, 80 days. Well, you couldn't put a man like that in the ground and leave him there. You know you couldn't do that. Well, he passed over the boundaries of death while he was up on Mount Sinai.
Hallelujah.
Is that right?
Amen.
See, do you believe that God actually didn't take Moses over into Promised Land? Somebody said, well, Moses, it was bad for Moses. He didn't go into Promised Land. Folks, what it was, Moses was so wonderful to God, God couldn't bear to see him go over there just to suck on a little honey and milk. He took him over to heaven, the real Promised Land. That's what it was all about. He was too precious to God. That's what it was. Is that right?
Amen.
You said, well, I don't believe it. Well, that's where he was when he standing on the Mount of Transfiguration in glory.
Amen.
That's where he was.
Amen.
That's why the dispute was over his body. The dispute was over his body because death could not claim his body at that particular time.
Amen.
The angel disputed with him over
right.
it. But now will death claim his body? There'll be a time that God will surrender the body to death. He'll come back and die. Will he come back and die? He will come back and die. Moses and Elijah will come back and die. They'll come back because of the penalty of sin under the law.
Amen.
But brother and sister, Enoch will never come back and die.
Right.
Never. Right. You say, but Brother Pike, God respect the person. How is it that Enoch can get away with it when Moses and Elijah can't get away with it? Because Enoch was not under the law.
Right.
Even Abraham, 430 years before the law, God gave him the plan of justification by faith.
Amen.
And the scriptures appeared to Abraham and preached faith to him.
Hallelujah.
And he became the father of the faithful.
Amen.
Why, Enoch wasn't under the law. He doesn't have to come back. And that's the secret to the translation of today. That's the thing that thrills my heart.
Amen.
Today, we are not under the law.
Amen.
We're on this side of Calvary.
Because
the Bible said we were under the law as tutors that pointed toward that faith which was to come.
Amen.
Shut up under the law, Paul said,
Amen.
The revelation of Jesus Christ. Shut up under the law until the faith which afterwards should be revealed, that faith being the faith of the Son of God, the faith by which we're sanctified. Is that right? Well, God has sanctified us once and for all. Not in a daily sanctification. That's our work with our efforts of putting away the filth of the flesh to be a vessel to be used of God. But sanctification is one thing. Once and for all, God sanctified us by the faith of Jesus Christ. Or the offering up of the body of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, and by the faith of Jesus Christ, that faith by which we are sanctified that we should contend for, that the Bible speaks of.
Hallelujah.
Under that faith, that I wish we could say something about tonight, but we don't have time to do that. I got to finish this little thought about resurrection, because that's where we're down here. So then, we don't have to die. We don't have to die. You say, but Brother Pike, people are dying everywhere. I know they are, but we don't have to.
Amen.
Amen. You're gods, Jesus said. You're gods, not men. There's no appointment unto you to death. That's
Amen.
Gone. That's with the law. You are alive forevermore.
Amen.
I might say, well, you don't expect nobody to believe that. I certainly do. Not only do I expect them to believe it, but brother, the message that I'm preaching tonight is going to take hold and cover the world, and it's going to translate the church. It's going to be the people that get this message that's going to go the way that God intended, according to Thessalonians, what you call the rapture. Or the change is going to take them out of this world alive, and they're not going to be put in the grave.
Amen.
Can you prove that death hath no power over us, Brother Pike? I certainly can. How then can you do it? The Bible said that sin gets its strength by the law. Is that right?
Amen.
And Jesus folded up the law and laid it away.
Amen.
And sin is the transgression of the law. But where there is no law, there is no transgression.
Amen.
Is that right?
That's right.
If there is no law, there is no transgression. And sin is the transgression of the law. If there is no law, there is no transgression. If there is no transgression, there is no sin. Come on now.
Amen.
And that agrees with the scripture. For the Bible says, he that is born of God cannot sin.
Right.
It doesn't say that he might not sin, or if he does good, he won't sin, or if he holds on, he'll make it in. It says he cannot sin.
Amen.
He is born of God, the seed of God remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God.
Oh.
Not only that, but somebody say, well, I know people is doing this way and that way and another way. The Bible said, he that is born of God keepeth himself, and that evil one toucheth him not.
Amen.
From the time a man is born into the kingdom of God, if he lived to be 1,000 years old, the devil never even touches him one time.
Amen.
If the devil touched him one time, he wouldn't be the body of Jesus.
Amen.
And the Bible said we're born of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Not I living, but Christ.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
Fill of me. Spirit hath not flesh and bones like you see me have. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, you've got to get over here to the resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection.
Amen.
I am the resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in this first resurrection. And I would go into some more teachings if we had to get talk about where the first resurrection is, the second and the third and whatever, wouldn't it? But the thing is, what I'm saying is this. We have the resurrection and the life.
Amen.
We have the resurrection and the life right now. Do you believe, you that believe in death, do you believe that being put in a hole is going to help you? Have you out there believe that putting you in a hole is going to make you any better? Now, can't you just picture it like this, and I'm not mocking, I'm just trying to get across the point. Can't you just picture in your minds are going to dig a 6x6 or whatever it is, and they're going to throw you into it. They might give you a pretty box. It'll last a few days. And they're going to throw you into it. And you're going to lay there. You know, you're going to lay there. And you're going to rot. Now, if the embalmer does a good job, it's enough embalming fluid in there, you might hold up pretty good. Otherwise, you're going to be in bad shape. You're going to lay there in that hole, and you're going to rot. And like David said, oh, Lord, I can't praise you in the grave. All that's going to be gone. And there you lay. Can't you just imagine God looking down thinking, now this is working good. There he is, dead and rotten. Oh, this is working good. Now this is what I wanted. Now you don't believe that, do you? If that's what God wanted, and the Bible said Jesus was our example, and he wanted everything to be like Jesus, why is it the Bible said he suffered not his Holy One to see corruption, nor his soul to remain in hell, if that's his satisfaction? If that's the plan of God, if that's what God wants, if death is not God's enemy, can you answer me? Brother, laying in the grave a day or a year or 10 years isn't going to help perfect you. It isn't going to do you a bit of good.
Amen.
If we took up my brother, how long had Charles been in the grave?
About 15 years.
Buried him over in Memphis, was it? And the Lord showed me by the revelation of Jesus Christ that my brother would be taken up after, was it 15 years, Bill? And I told him, I said, my brother will come out of the graveyard and they'll move his body to another place, and told him where they'd move it. I said, they'll do it. I said, watch and see. The revelation of Jesus Christ shows it. Oh, didn't believe that. But it came to pass. Came to pass. After a while, God began to move. And my brother, a long time after, and some of the folks decided they were going to take up his body and put it over there in another graveyard that we had spoke of near Dad.
Right, amen.
When they went to do it, the health department said, absolutely not. They said, no. Are you listening?
Amen.
They said, no, you can't do that.
Sure.
Said, being buried that long, Ben, you can't do that. So they called back and told them over the phone. They said, you can't do that, said the health department. Said, no, flat no. I said, I don't care what the health department said. God said he'll be moved. He'll be put over yonder in a few days. He was over there.
Amen.
He was over there. The health department all of a sudden changed their mind, backed up, let them have it, move it, and moved him over there. Why do you say that, Brother Pye? I said that to say this. What good did that do my brother laying in the ground 13 years? Or 15 years, whatever it was. What good did that do him? That ain't done him no good at all. Can't speak, can't move, can't do nothing. Brother, sister, God don't want you to go to the grave. It ain't God's plan for you to die. Amen. Going by the way of the grave don't help bring you in the resurrection.
Amen.
That don't help do you no good. The Bible said, we which are alive and remain shall not sleep.
Amen.
We will not die. We will not go into the grave. Why is that? Somebody said, well, I wonder when Jesus is coming back. I can tell you when. When we get this thing right. When we conquer death and we realize that death is conquered and we believe that thing, it's going to bring Christ back. You know why? Because death can't hold them that are in the grave any longer.
Amen.
Brother, when you understand the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ and know that death is abolished in Jesus' flesh, and you know that this thing is over and you really get to believing that thing.
Hallelujah.
You know, you get an indoctrination up here, that won't make it happen. But when you transfer it to your heart, it becomes faith.
Amen.
Because man
Amen.
Believes.
Amen.
And when people get the indoctrination that death is conquered, that it's over, that it's gone, and a generation of people, of God's few, gets to believe in that.
Amen.
Brother, death will lose its hold on them in the grave out yonder. Death will lose its hold on our body. And Jesus will have to come back. That is what's going to bring him back. Is what we call the perfection of the church. You say, well, the perfection of the church is when we quit dipping and chewing and smoking. The Bible said the perfection of the church. Paul said, we wish this, even the perfecting of your faith. That is, you believe what we're telling you. Get the spirit of revelation.
Hallelujah.
That's what he said. I'm the teacher to the Gentile church. Isn't that right?
Amen.
I'm Paul the revelator, the teacher to the Gentile church, he said.
Amen.
Don't you understand what I'm Amen. Saying? God told me to do it that way. So then, Paul said, I'm the revelator. I'm the one that God sent to the Gentile church. I'm the one that was caught up into the third heaven. I'm the one that said things that you couldn't understand. The Jews couldn't understand. I'm the one that said it was things that was told me that couldn't be expressed in that season because it would have raptured the church. It would have perfected their believing. If I'd have told them, if I'd have explained these things to them, they would have believed it, and then the church would have went away. But I saved it for the last, that you might have it here.
Praise God.
Being the apostle to the Gentile church. How do you understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
So then, that means that death doesn't have any power over you. There is no law, so there's no transgression. And if there's no transgression, there is no sin. And if there's no sin, there's no death. Because the Bible said the sting of death is sin.
Amen.
If there's no transgression, there's no sin.
Amen.
If there's no sin, there's no death, because the sting of death is sin.
Amen.
And he that is born of God, he can't sin.
Amen.
When you're born again, that ends death.
Hallelujah.
The only reason that you die in your body like men is because you've never known any better.
Hallelujah.
You're gods. Gods are not made to die. Gods are made to live.
Amen.
You're gods. It's not appointed unto gods to die.
Amen.
It's appointed a man to die. Can I say these few words in trying to close here?
Hallelujah. Amen.
Now, I really wished I had time to preach tonight.
Hallelujah.
I really do.
Amen.
I know you think I'm just saying that, but I really wished I did. Let me say these few words right here. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. That you have passed from death unto life. You're not going to do it. You've already done it.
Amen.
That the kingdom of heaven don't come by observation. It's within you. It's within you.
Amen.
That I've chosen you out of this world and hid you with Christ in God. You are hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received.
Amen.
Now, somebody said, now, wait a minute, Brother Pike, you're making this heaven down here. Well, I said, just wait till you get to hell if you don't have any part in this, and you'll understand what I'm saying. You can look back from that dimension and tell more about this dimension then.
Amen.
There is another dimension that's on down yonder further, where you'll have to look up to this one. How do you know?
Amen. Hallelujah.
Heaven up above.
Praise God.
Hell from beneath.
Amen.
I had to get into the teachings of the three heavens and what God meant by it. If there is no sin, there is no death. How many of you agree to that?
Amen.
You believe the word of God? Let me see your hand if you believe the word of God.
Amen.
How do you believe what I'm telling you is the word of God?
Amen.
All right? If that is true, then if according to your faith, so be it unto you. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Amen. It's always been, God said, whatever I reveal through the church ages, if you can believe that portion of it, it's yours. Isn't that right?
Amen.
The end of the church ages? The end of the church ages? How do you believe that a man by the name of William Branham had to do with closing out the church ages?
Amen.
As sure as you live in this world. What happens at the end of the church ages? The revelation of Jesus Christ comes. Can you prove it? I certainly can. How can you prove it? Because before the church ages begun, that's what it was. Paul received the revelation. And what is it at the end of the Bible over here? John calls it the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave unto him.
Amen.
Unto Jesus Christ. What kind of message is going to swallow up the world? The revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's the only message.
Amen.
Everyone will come to it.
Amen.
You say, why is that, Brother Pine? Because the Bible said it is the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God gave it to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And God's going to make everybody come to Jesus Christ's revelation.
That's right.
What is the revelation of Jesus Christ? It is the expression of God within Jesus. He is the express image of God's person. The only way that God's ever been expressed in the earth. The only expression of God among humanity.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
So then if there is no... Now listen close as we close. If there is no sin, then there is no death. How do you agree to that?
Amen.
You agree to that?
Amen.
If there is no sin, there is no death, because the Bible said that the sting of death is sin.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
I'm not trying to scream at you. I don't think you're ignorant. I think you're wonderful, intelligent people. I'm just hollering. Well, the foolish is the preacher, Bible said. You know, I get excited hollering. It does something. It imprints that thing. It programs you. It gets it in there to work. It's not shaken out real easy. If there's no sin, there is no death. Now, what does the Bible say? I just wish we had time to go on into this, to the second death, and you'd know exactly what I'm saying tonight. It's going to leave you just swinging just a little bit, because we can't go into that. We don't have time to go into it much. If there's no sin, then, brother or sister, there is no death. Why? Death is swallowed up in victory.
Amen.
Death is swallowed up in victory. How have you ever read that? Somebody said, well, I know that. Well, what is that victory? The Bible said this is the victory that overcomes the world, even your faith.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
Isn't that right? He said, you be strong. I've done overcome the world for you. I've already done it. You be strong in the power of my might.
Hallelujah.
When you've done all you can to stand, you just keep on standing, because I already worked it out for you anyway. Don't let the devil persuade you into anything. It's what I have done for you. Just keep believing in it. It'll work. Now, you can't go out and practice sin and do wrong and keep believing in it, because it won't work that way. But you do all you can to do right. And then you can keep believing in it. Brother, it'll work. It'll work. It won't fail you. So then, if there is no death or no sin, there is no death. What can I then say? What can I then say? Oh, death, where is your sting? And this saying shall be brought to pass. Oh, death, where is your sting?
Amen.
Where is your sting, death?
Hallelujah.
Somebody tell me, where is the sting of death?
Hallelujah.
Well, the sting of death is sin.
That's right.
Where is the sting of death? Oh, death, where is the sin that you use to sting people and kill them with? Oh, death, where is thy sting? The Bible said this shall be brought to pass. Death, where is thy sting? And did you know that if death doesn't have a sting, the grave doesn't have a victory? How do you know that?
That's right.
Oh, grave, where is thy victory?
That's right.
Where is thy victory?
That's right.
Jesus just got up, walked off, and left it empty. It's over there now. I've been over and looked at it. Grave, what happened to you? How did he get out of here? Someone would say. Death, where, grave, where's your victory? You know why death doesn't have any victory? Because, or the grave doesn't have any victory? Because death doesn't have any sting anymore. That's why.
Amen.
Death doesn't have any sting anymore. You say, Brother Pike, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the resurrection and life.
Amen.
Somebody said, day after tomorrow. There ain't no such thing. I'm talking about now.
Amen.
Jesus said, I am.
Hallelujah.
The resurrection and the life. Amen. Somebody say, I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
Hallelujah. Can you stand with me? A lot of things I'd like to say, children of God. I believe that you believe what I'm telling you.
Hallelujah.
I believe you love Jesus.
Glory be unto God. Hallelujah.
I'm just going to take a minute and turn it back to our brother John. Now you go home. I'm going to tell you like I told a woman here a while back. About, I guess it was about a month ago or something. We had a little further back now. A couple of months ago, we had a tent meeting over in Jeffersonville, Indiana. We was praying for the sick, and a woman come up, about 28, 27 years old, had cancer. And I prayed for her, and I felt God heal her. And I said, now I want you to go back and let the doctor check you, because I believe that God healed you, and the cancer's gone. Now I want you to come back and tell me what he said. So she did. She went over to prove me wrong. And when she got, she'd been, had cancer for a number of years. Been under doctor's treatments. They had removed part of her body. Said she had not had one night of rest without pain. Until she come back and testified that that night that we prayed for, there was no pain. She said, she told the audience and she told me, she said, Brother Pike, said they x-rayed me and examined me and the doctor said there's absolutely no trace of cancer at all. Now, I said that to say this. You go and prove Brother Pike wrong. You go take your Bible and you say, now I'm just going to take my Bible and I'm going to find out something. And you just read it and you just prove me wrong. You just go from one end to another and you just read it and take all that I said and prove me wrong. When you get it all summed up, you got it all together, you come back and you show me where I'm wrong. And in the event that it works the other way, you just thank the Lord and rejoice and let us rejoice together.
Hallelujah.
What the Lord is saying. For the Bible said, let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches.
Glory.
It's late, folks. You say, well, I know it's late. I want to go home. I mean, it's late in another way.
That's right.
It's late. We're in Macon, Georgia, because Macon, Georgia is one of the deadest places that I know of in the world when it comes to people living for God. Somebody say, oh, me, because I know I ain't going to get no amens.
Right.
Well, I did get some.
Amen.
Of course, some of them might not be for Macon. Now, you say, Brother Pike, are you saying there ain't no Christians in Macon? No, sir. There's some godly people here, some precious God people that love Jesus here. But I know Macon, Georgia. I went to school when I was a little bitty boy, just about so high, in the first or second grade right over here at this little stone school next to the mill over here. I know it. I know Macon in my mind, it's like a map. I know it. From coming here, talking with people, investing, great people, loving people, kind people. But Macon has to do with Jerusalem. And as far as I know, the boundary line that runs from Jerusalem runs across Macon. Now, it has to do with Jerusalem. Whereas they're calling for us in Jerusalem right now. We want to go over there. We got a letter just the other day. They want us to come over and minister to them. Now, here in Macon, this has to do with the resurrection of the dead, and that's the truth, so help me God. That's why we're down here. God sent Brother John down here because he's moving in the revelation of the Lord. You people that are here tonight, it's not coincidental. You say, but Brother Pike, I came because I wanted to. No, you didn't. You came because God wanted you to. The Bible said the preparation of man's heart is from God. God prepared your heart to come. God creates the good. God creates the evil. God has his way in both. God works all things after the counsel of his own will. Can evil come to the city, and I have not sinned it, saith the Lord? The Bible said in the days of Solomon, God stirred up the man that gives Solomon trouble.
Hallelujah.
Now, so you're here because God sent you. I'm here because God sent me. He prepared our hearts. In whatever way he did it, he did it. Because you have a specific purpose in being here. Whether it is to go away and criticize, like Judas, to shred it around by criticism and find fault, God might slay you as he did Pharaoh and that he raised him up for that purpose, to harden his heart, to bring to pass what he's doing, or whether it is to testify of his glory, or to receive the mercies of the everlasting God, He brought you here, whatever it is. He has his way in all of it. So tonight, I want you to realize that this does have to do with the coming of the Lord. But what you refer to as the rapture is so close at hand until it would terrorize some of you if you understood, and they'd have to put some of you in a straitjacket. If you could see. They'd have to put you in a straitjacket. So I'd say this, brother, sister, whatever you do, if you're not right with God, get right with the Lord. Don't play with Christ. Don't play with religion. Don't make believe. Get right with God. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And unless you're born again, you'll never see the kingdom of God. His kingdom's not of this world. It's a spiritual kingdom. It'll never come by observation. He's the great light that you don't see with these little old 22 conductive nerves from the eye to the brain. You'll never see that. If you got one glimpse of it, you'd be blind like Paul was.
Amen.
So you'll never see it that way. This is the eyes of your understanding enlightened, comprehending the heights, the depth, the width, the length. So then let's lift our hands tonight in love, Jesus. Can you do that? The Bible said, I would that men everywhere lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. And you know what? The reason God would have us to lift up our hands, brother, sister, is because He gets a good look at Calvary when we do that. Holy hands made holy by the Son of God. Isn't that right? When we lift up our hands, then He sees Calvary. He sees Calvary. Hands that He's made holy. And you know the Bible said, whatever you do to the least of these, you do it unto Me. Bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. When we submit ourselves one to another, then we submit ourselves to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Christ within us. Isn't that right? And when we reject one another, we reject the Son of God Himself and bring the wrath of God upon us and swift damnation. Tonight, as we lift up our hands to love Jesus, to talk to the Lord, I want you tonight to think back on the greatness of God. The Lord is so good. The Lord is so good. So wonderful. You know, our fellowship tonight is so sweet. I think of the different brethren that I've been able to fellowship and talk to, and the wonderful fellowship that we've had. Me and Brother Jimmy. Me and Brother Lane. Me and Brother William Branham. The wonderful fellowship that we've had. It's been so wonderful. I've had some wonderful fellowship with some of the great men of the world. David Nunn. Some of the other leading men that are in the ministry. And it's been wonderful. But I have never found fellowship with Brother Branham or with David Nunn or with the great ministers or with anybody like the fellowship of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Did you know that?
God. Thank you, Jesus.
Never. Hallelujah. But I'll tell you this. Glory when you fellowship God. Those men when they are in the Spirit, your fellowship in Christ. Did you know that?
Hallelujah.
And if you fellowship those men in loving and doing something for them, you're doing it unto Jesus. Somebody would say, well, they're not in the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
They are born to the Spirit. Don't forget that.
Hallelujah.
They're always God's. They're born to the Spirit. Just like a minister, they say, I listen to him when he's anointed. My brother, he doesn't have to get anointed. That's a great mistake of the church. How do you know that?
That's
a great mistake of the church. A minister doesn't have to get anointed. He is God's anointed. He's God's anointed down at the corner when he talks at the service station. He's God's anointed when he talks up here. He's God's anointed when you meet him out yonder somewhere. He's God's anointed wherever you meet him. Did you know that? He is God's anointed. He is God's anointed. All right, I want to pray for you tonight.
Hallelujah.
Now, I love you tonight. You believe that?
Amen.
All right. I love you.
Thank you, Jesus.
There is a person here with us tonight, and he is tore up. He's all tore up in his spirit. He's tore up in his spirit because he wants to submit to this. Something tells him it's dangerous not to. And yet, in his thinking, he's determined that he isn't going to do it. But, nevertheless, we love him anyway. I want you to pray with me now. His life is his life. We're just here to pray, to love you, to tell you what God shows us. And a number of other things I see here tonight out of some of you. But we didn't come here for that tonight. We come here to love you. And I want you to lift your hands up. I want to pray for you because I love you. I want to pray for God to heal you tonight. I really want to pray for God to heal you tonight. And I believe He will heal you tonight. You know, love is of God. And I want to pray. The Bible said, He that God sendeth will speak God's word. I spoke God's word tonight. He that witnesseth of himself, his witness is not true. But if he witness of him that sent him, then his witness is true. And tonight I have witnessed of him that sent me, of the word. So then tonight, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for your body that God will heal it. And I wish we had time to say more. Father, Lord of heaven, in the wonderful name of your darling Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, I feel your lovely presence here tonight. Oh, hallelujah, as I feel the Holy Ghost. As I feel the loving Holy Ghost coming down upon me now, I pray in the lovely name of your darling Son, Jesus, Father, that you would bless these people, giving glory to thy lovely name, knowing that thou art the resurrection and the life, knowing that thou art the beloved Son of God. Father, as I feel that wonderful, quickening Holy Spirit, I pray that your presence would be upon these people. I pray that you would stretch forth a healing hand tonight. Father, to heal tonight. Father, to save tonight. Father, to forgive tonight. May the great Spirit fall upon him. Lord, even as Peter, Lord, when he spake down at Cornelius' house, he said the Holy Ghost fell upon him. And I feel the Holy Ghost falling upon him right now, Father. I feel the quickening falling upon him right now. And I ask in the name of Jesus, as the lovely Holy Ghost settles down upon them right here, that you would heal, that you would forgive, and oh God, that you would bless in a great and a mighty way tonight. Father, that these people be healed, that these people be saved, that these people be forgiven tonight of their sins. May the grace of God be with them in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We ask it. Let's sing this little chorus together and we'll turn it to our pastor.
Yes, Father.
Let's sing the little chorus. Oh, how I love Jesus. You know, the Bible said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Isn't that right?
Yes, Father.
All right. Give me another key, can you, Jim? Try another one. I'm just a little bit hoarse. Oh, how I love Jesus. Step out and come up here. They feel like that they should come up here. And that's all right. You come on now, if you will. Just come on, step out up here. If a number of you, if you'd like to do that, that's all right. Sing it again. Oh,
can you play it again?
Oh, how I love Jesus. Give a break to the others. You know, some people, they can't move. They want to, but they feel cramped and they feel pressed. And unless somebody else moves, they just can't feel to do that. Therefore, you have to break that so that they can come. Come on up, if you will. Find your place around just for a moment here. Let's do that. Just come on up a little further. All right, let's sing it again while Jim's playing, can we? No. How I love Jesus. question, is there anybody tonight that hasn't accepted Jesus? Is there anybody tonight that isn't serving Jesus? Is it that you haven't given God a chance? You know, the Bible says, I'm married to the backslider. Woe unto that backslider. One woe cometh and then another woe. Woe unto that backslider. It's a hard way to go. I'm married unto you. I am married unto you. So tonight, if you've not given your heart to God, give your heart to God tonight. Let that great change from mortality to immortality take place. You say, Brother Clark, you mean the spot is going to be changed? No, I don't mean that. I mean there's a spiritual birth that'll take place. And I wish we had time to talk about the other. It's so much closer than you think it is, my brother and sister. So different from what you understand. But tonight, that'll take care of it if you can just call on His name. The Bible said it shall come to pass, and whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is that right? Let's call upon the name of the Lord. Can you? Let's just lift our hands. Come tonight. And let's call upon the name of the Lord. We're going to do that tonight. Come on. Let's just call upon the name of the Lord. If you've never called upon the name of the Lord, I want you to call upon the name of the Lord tonight. I believe God.